Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.
And welcome everyone to Everyday Miracles on the Transformation Network. This is the show where we open our minds to unlimited possibilities. I am your host, Candace McClain, and each and every week we bring you stories of transformation from inspirational people all around the world. And if you have your own inspirational or miracle story, I'd love to hear it. You can visit my website at www.everydaymiracleshow.com and share your story by clicking on the contact link at the top there. You can also sign up for the newsletter and find out about some of the upcoming shows and guests we have, as well as some exciting giveaways. Well, today I want to jump right into the show. My very special guest knows all about the journey of transformation. Jerry Wenstrom is joining us today, and he is a phenomenal artist from Whidbey Island, Washington. And he's the author of The Inspired Heart, An Artist's Journey of Transformation. Now, Jerry has a very special and powerful story of courage and transformation for us. Like many of us, Jerry, he reached a point in his life where he began to question his life and the limits of his creative life as an artist. And so after years of producing a large body of work, he decided to set out to discover the rock bottom truth of his life. Was he just this studio painter? Who was he really? But how he went about that shocked everyone. So Jerry's here today to share that particular journey with us, how he went from having, you know, a successful career as an artist, up-and-coming artist, but knowing deep down something was missing, to having absolutely nothing at all and having a penniless life virtually, but then building the courage to begin a life of unconditional trust, allowing the miracle to provide all that was needed. Now, Jerry's journey is actually captured in his book that I just mentioned. It's called The Inspired Heart. And his courageous story is also the subject of the documentaries In the Hands of Alchemy, as well as Studio Dialogue. Now, I spent some time on Jerry's website viewing his incredible work, his incredible paintings, as well as beautifully detailed sculptures that that now he has adorning his home and property back on Whidbey Island. And one of the many artistic pieces he has is a meditation tower that he built. And I'd love for him to talk about that with us today as well. In fact, the tower and his life story were also featured in the book Holy Personal by Laura Chester. Now, aside from his art, Jerry also lectures and offers film presentations internationally. He's written articles for several publications. Jerry's art is featured in the film Mythic Journeys. And I understand that there's a new feature film in production by a Danish filmmaker based on Jerry's life as well. So an absolutely extraordinary body of work, an extraordinary book, and an extraordinary life. Jerry, welcome to the show today. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Candace, and thanks to your audience for tuning in.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed the book, and I think most of us, if not all of us, come to that certain place in life where we begin to question our identity, who we really are. Because the roles we take on in life, especially our careers, those can consume us. And so what happens is we become defined by what we do and not so much by who we really are beneath all of that. It's kind of like we lose touch with that deeper spiritual understanding of who we really are. So, Jerry, I'd love for you to take us back to that time for you when you first started to look at your life and really question the path that you were on.
Yes. Well, I like to say the gods whisper before they scream. And I think when our lives are about to change, we often hear the whispers along the way. And often what is being said or what we are being in a certain way directed to do or go often scares us too much. So we tend to drown out those voices. And yet, if we're paying attention, it's the best seat in the house to be that kind of willing participant and listen deeply within when that which we most identify with no longer serves us in the way it had, and trust that moment of emptiness. And I think when I felt that kind of metaphoric death stirring, you might say, the death of my identity as I had known it, mm-hmm. I knew something was changing, and I fasted for a month, and it became very clear to me that I could keep doing what I was doing, and yet it felt like a fear-based choice, or I could go for what I intuited was drawing me forth and actually inspiring me to move forward into this mysterious unknown possibility, which looked everything like nothing. And yet the allurement was the more powerful force. And on the strength of that feeling, that sense of something greater, I destroyed all my art, gave everything I owned away, and lived that way for the next 15 years.
And you gave it all away. That's incredible. And I, similarly, I mean, prior to doing this kind of work and as a hypnotherapist, I worked for a large Chicago firm. I had a great job, but again, it was this idea of this wasn't fulfilling me, and it was becoming who I was. And my whole life seemed to revolve around this career. And similarly, I had to take that break from it. I had to let it go. So, but for you, was there something that happened just prior to that? Or was it really just these nagging questions? Or was there some sort of experience or event that happened right before destroying your art and giving everything away?
Well, like I said, there were many whispers along the way. So, I mean, it wasn't, I think the final event was in a certain sense the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, by the time I really got clear what I needed to do, it was already well understood within at some level. So there wasn't mm-hmm. a catalytic event. There were many, you know, this is some of the things I write about in my book, the stories leading up to that. And actually, the film you mentioned, the feature film, it's the stuff we're working on now with the screenplay is building up to that, because I know people need details, but, you know, and there are stories. I think nothing happens out of the blue in a certain sense, you know, at some yeah. level, if we're tracking, there are things sort of directing us and giving us the courage to take one more step. And I also thought, I think most artists would understand this. There's something about being in the safety of the studio and taking risks with what it is you're doing. If you're painting, you would take a certain risk. And maybe in taking that risk, you will destroy your status quo. You may have brought a painting up to the very best you could do with everything you have available. And yet, and it could, you know, the world would say, what a great painting this is. And yet, you know, it's not inspired. And in taking a risk and maybe destroying that status quo, inspiration comes through. And then it becomes a whole other animal, you might say. And I felt like I got very good at that in the studio. I had an enormous body of work. I was extremely driven. And at the point I said, in a certain sense, what a good boy am I? I can do this. I feel like the gods upped the ante, and now I needed to take that risk with my whole life and see what inspiration would come by way of doing that. So that very template struck in the studio as a painter became the, in a certain sense, the guiding force for that larger leap into emptiness, into that, you know, a certain sense, emptiness. And I like to use the quote by Yogananda, which sort of explains our spiritual path, you might say. He says, to set out on any holy purpose, which our lives are, to set out on any holy purpose and to die along the way is to succeed. And that's a kind of metaphoric death that we're talking about. You know, you can't do any more with your will, intelligence, and good intentions And so where do you go from here? You need a quantum leap, and there's no way to access that quantum leap except by way of complete trust in that mystery and the mystery of that transformation. And that was the thing that changed my life. Doing what I did was the most important thing I ever did. And it has become that evolving, growing, incredible gift that my life has become in the world. With everything going on, it is all about that, you might say, the big bang of that decision, or that, you know, act of courage, you might say.
Yeah, and it must have been, I mean, you went through some difficult times there for those 15 years. I mean, many times not having any food to eat, and you just went without. Was there ever a point where you said, you know, I did the wrong thing here, I wish I could go back? Or did you completely trust? Did you completely trust?
Well, I think it's human nature to have our doubts when the going gets rough. But at some level, I wouldn't have been able to continue this strange and lonely journey if the mystery and the miracle didn't carry my life. I don't think anyone can do anything for very long if you don't feel, in a certain sense, the hand of God helping you along. And, you know, and in those years, I never asked anyone for anything. Like you said, when I had food, I ate. When I didn't, I fasted. And I just accepted everything and everyone that came into my life. And I feel like, you know, that level of existing in the moment with what is, without interfering, without trying to make it better or worse, being present with what is the most efficient route to our own transformation and our own healing, you know, in a very complete way. I think it's the path to what makes us whole human beings, because we each have our individual work to do, you know, the family shadow that we all got handed, however happy our childhood was, or everything else going on in our life. And it's very unique to each of us to enter into that level of trust. I feel like everything that needed to come up for healing and greater understanding was just right there in front of me as it came. And that was the thing that the miracle would undo, you know, the difficult place. And so each, and again, the stories in my book are very much those moments. With each moment where all seemed lost and there was no way to survive that moment, that is where something unexpected carried my life. And again,
well, let me stop you right there for a moment, Jerry, because we're just going to go to a quick break, but I want you to complete that when we come back. So A Courageous Story from Jerry Wenstrom today. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today. Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. If you're just tuning in right now, I'm speaking today with Jerry Wenstrom, an accomplished artist and sculptor. He's also the author of The Inspired Heart, An Artist's Journey of Transformation, which details his journey as a man and an artist. Now, Jerry, before the break there, we were talking about that path, that transformation for you. After destroying all of your art and giving everything away, I'm curious, did you have anyone in your life at that time? I mean, how did people respond to this? For example, from family to friends, even the artistic community for that matter, what was their response?
Well, I had every imaginable response. You know, some people thought I lost it, and others, I think, got it. You know, one of the things, the nature of inspiration, if we act out of a moment that it is inspiring to us, that inspiration translates. So I felt like anyone who gave me the time and the presence to hear and to share the story and what actually went on, at a certain sense, got it. You know, I think, again, inspiration translates. So, and it's that same ability and inspiration that has carried my life. I mean, the places where, because we're going to be judged no matter what we do, you know, I mean, even goodness has a way of being judged, you know? And so I think the thing that ultimately carries our lives isn't necessarily the living for the eyes of the world or the interpretation of the world, but that miracle that just keeps you above the projections that are inevitably going to come your way. And I think to have done something so out of the box as I had done with my life, there were a lot of projections, you know. Like I said, some people thought I mean, the first person to call me was Jean Houston, and she thought I had lost it completely. I mean, so even the people you think would get it don't sometimes. And then the most humble, innocent people just open up and are inspired by what it is you've done. So it's across the board, and it still is.
Sure. During that time, you know, what did Spirit lead you to do? I seem to recall that you did a lot of service for people, and not the kind that gets you awards or recognition, but you seem to help people, whether it be neighbors or kids who didn't really have role models around them, or even strangers going through a difficult time. So tell us about some of the things that Spirit led you to do.
Well, I think most importantly, what I felt led to do was be so completely present and in the moment with what came. I mean, I didn't go out of my way to do good things or bad things or anything. I simply was present. And when you're that kind of open to the world, every imaginable person comes. I mean, I had straight crazy street people coming. I had, you know, beautiful young people looking for an inspired different way of life. I've had every imaginable thing. And so just simply being present with each person and each event as it came, I was as amazed at what came out of that as anyone else. You know, in terms of doing good, I love, there's a saying in the Bhagavad Gita that goes, goodness is the final obstacle to God. So I think when you're really being present in the moment, even goodness can get in the way. The idea of doing good, the greatest good I have ever done completely surprised me at the scope of it and the way in which it came, which it had nothing to do with my strategy or being a good person, and everything to do with being present and allowing that miraculous moment to come through and change things for yourself and other people. So that was my focus. And, you know, there's a certain ruthless intensity and ruthless focus about being that kind of present. I mean, nothing can stand in the way of it. Not goodness, not selfishness. I mean, and there's no better way to be present than to need the gifts of the moment to survive. There's no better way.
And you were always provided for, regardless. You were always provided for, and you just trusted in that. So when you didn't have food, you trusted it would show, and it would.
Yes, or I learned things about fasting. I learned things about energy. I learned things about timing and being at the right place at the right moment. I mean, sometimes nourishment would come in the form of inspiration. I would come alive, pick up a book or read something or have an encounter with a person on the street, and I would come completely alive. And so that would carry me when it wasn't literally what I wanted. I mean, I may have been hungry and wanted food, but I mean, when the miracle comes through, you come alive, and it was that miracle that continued to carry my life, and almost never in the form I imagined, almost never. And I think getting out of our own way with our ideas of what we think we need, and plus the ideas of the world, like, you know, telling you what they think you need. To get away from all of those ideas and simply be present, it's amazing how beautifully that the spirit of that possibility carries your life. And again, I mean, we certainly have to abandon a lot of fixed notions about who we think we are to do that.
And so how did this whole experience lead you to who you are today? Like, as an artist and as a person as well, how... It was a renewal of sorts for you, wasn't it?
Yes. And at first, it was really enormously difficult work at some level. You know, I often compare it to learning to dance. You know, when you learn to dance, there are these steps that you're told to put your feet here, here, and here. And it's like, why would I want to do that? It makes absolutely no sense. And yet, later in life, the music comes on and it becomes the dance of your life. And it was very much like that. The clumsy beginning was so rudimentary in its demands, you might say. I mean, I just was following these minuscule promptings that to do what I needed to do in a given moment. And this, you know, and there was an amazing amount of healing and awakening that came with it, with that kind of listening. And now later in life, you know, the ability to do that and live that way and be present in that way has become second nature. It's like a habit. You know, we're in the habit of being afraid. We're in the habit of gathering, you know, elements of security, whether it's money or sexuality or, you know, 1.2 kids and a Mercedes Benz, whatever it is, you know, it's all the habit of, you know, buffering our lives from emptiness. When we fully inhabit the emptiness with trust, it's a whole other reality, and everything we need comes into play as it needs to. And so, you know, it's like in some way you have to keep your hands open when you grasp onto anything, that, you know, then that miracle stops in a certain sense. And so my life at this point is very much a dance. I feel like it's the celebratory end product of, you know, that long, hard journey. And everything that came out of it has created, and I think it does this for all of us, such a completely unique expression in the world that, you know, it's a position that only I hold, just as if any of us fully open and inhabit the territory of their own unique relationship with the mystery, that expression will be your own. It will be like no one else's. You know, and these things that are going on in my life, being asked to write a book, Parabola Magazine made the first film about me, and now this feature film, I feel all of that is a product of that individualized expression taking form. And so it has the element of individuality, but also a universal element. I mean, it's sort of that collective mythos that is in fairy tales. You know, Cinderella goes into the ashes and wins the prince. That is the nature of reality. Happily ever after is our birthright if we live well, if we live the journey with courage and let it all unfold the way it needs to. And yet most of us base our whole creation on fear, and then we die anyway. So what good is it all done?
And there's a fear of changing too, even for positive change. When we have new positive, exciting things happening, we have a sense of fear around that as well, because we become so, I don't know, we're like creatures of comfort. You know, we get used to the way things are, and any kind of change can be a very difficult process for us. But we're going to go to a quick break, and we're talking with Jerry Wenstrom today. And when we come back, maybe Jerry will share with us what kind of changes can we start to make in our lives, so maybe we can hear some of those whispers as well. Without having to give everything away, what steps can we start taking now? And so we'll be right back with Jerry Wenstrom. Stay tuned.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Candice McLean. I have artist and author Jerry Wenstrom here with me today. And I want to invite everyone to visit Jerry's website, because he displays his paintings, his sculptures, and it's just incredible. You need to go to the website, and the website is www.handsofalchemy.com. So that's H-A-N-D-S. OFALCHEMY.com. And there's just some beautiful, beautiful art there to look at. And you can also learn more about Jerry and his book and the film as well. Now, before the break there, I kind of mentioned, Jerry, perhaps you can share some ideas for our listeners today who may not be prepared to walk away from everything. What advice can you offer to help us to begin that transformation, to help let go of the identities that we've created?
Yes. Well, for starters, I will say everyone certainly doesn't have to do it. I did. I mean, I think, as I said earlier, each of our lives have an individualized journey in front of them, and I believe it's like Lao Tzu says, the journey of 1,000 miles begins where your feet are. I mean, we are all faced at this very moment with some kind of belief in a limitation or fear or, you know, something that we don't feel we're living in our full potential. And so I think simply being present and having the courage and the openness to be present with those things that are calling is where it all begins. And we each have, you know, we each have something right here, right now, right in front of us that we can actually give ourselves to in a different kind of way and have it radically transform a place that might feel like absolute limitation. I mean, I think it's the nature of the miraculous to just simply blow out limitation. You know, it's the whole idea, the Hindu notion of duality. You know, I think when a reality truth comes through, it rises above the tension of dueling opposites. You know, should I do this or this, or, you know, is it this way or this way? I think inspiration is always like it lights up the whole room and all of a sudden the details matter not at all.
And that's the thing. And there's an element of maybe trying to live a little bit more simply. You know, our lives are so scheduled and there's so much, but trying to simplify it to some degree, would you say?
Well, that comes with the territory. When we, it's like, what do we value? We complicate our lives because we fear emptiness very often. And so we fill it with everything from, you know, videos to just mindless activity. So when we come to value the preciousness of inner listening and the gifts that can come through, and then we naturally eliminate distraction. So simplicity, living simpler, comes with the territory in that sense, is that we will always give ourselves to what we value. Unfortunately, most of us value what the world tells us is valuable, which is money. Mm-hmm. And then we get a lot of money and we spend a lot of money, and then we are in debt because that's the thing that is, you know, justifies working so much to get the money. And next thing you know, our lives are not our own. But we all get what we're asking for. What if we asked for something else? What if we asked for more stillness, for more deep listening, you know, for more inner guidance, for more harmony in the way that is larger than anything we could create with all of our potential, you know, distraction?
And I like what you're saying too about, you know, there are these things that we want to attain, you know, like what you said earlier, even if it's a Mercedes or, you know, some kind of prize, something that we have our eye on that we want to attain, usually materialistic. And oftentimes when we do actually attain it, then, you know, the feeling's gone and then it's on to the next thing.
Yes, that's true. And the emptiness, you know, the thing we think it's going to fulfill us at a deeper level. And again, most of us have been taught to live for the eyes of the world. I mean, a big part of having something that everyone, you know, tells you should have and wants themselves is sort of flaunting it in the face of other people who think just like us. When, you know, when the fact is it doesn't create intimacy with human beings, which is what, you know, is essentially what we want. We want to be loved and appreciated. So we think if we have, you know, expensive things and that's going to do it for us. And yet, you know, we actually interrupt the potential for a deeper intimacy by filling our lives with those things. It doesn't make people, it doesn't bring us closer to the heart in relationship. It creates a kind of competition to get and to, you know, and to flaunt, and the whole, you know, the whole nature of having becomes an entity in itself. And it, you know, and what we really all want, again, we get what we ask for very often, and we're not doing a whole lot of asking for things that are really of value.
And so taking a look at your life and thinking about, you know, what is it that I value? What is important to me? What do I want to be remembered for? And maybe looking at life that way. Now, with your book, I mean, you've had an overwhelming response to the book and even the film for that matter. Why do you think people are responding the way they are to you and your story?
Well, I think it's a collective mythos that has come of age. I think it's the, you know, often the artists, the poets, the more sensitive among us, those who are asking the questions of their lives, are in some level being asked to make their own radical transformations first. And but what's coming through comes through the collective in a very intuitive sense, and it comes through for all of us. It's like a wave that sweeps and changes reality completely. And those of us who are saying yes to it become, in a certain sense, at one with the wave, and we are, you know, we are in the service of that larger force, certainly larger than our own will and intelligence. And, you know, and I think, but it happens collectively. I mean, if you look at the loss of my identity, you know, in 1979, when all this came down, and what came out of it was, in some way, I had to trust the emptiness itself. There was a temptation to fight for what I thought I still was there, but it felt very destructive. And then you take, so there's a personal, the personal mythos. How it is collective is like exactly what we're in now. I mean, look what's going on in this country. We are losing our identity. You know, we're not sure who we are anymore. You know, I mean, everything we thought we were, all the prosperity is all up for grabs right now. And so I think it's a collective shift that, and anyone who has done their own work has in some level in the service of that transformation right now for the world, who's going through it kicking and screaming. I mean, it's a big part of what all these wars are about. We're trying to hold on to an old way of life that is not even possible to hold on to, you know, peak oil, and yet we're still fighting for oil as if it were the only game in town. I mean, that's what this, that's the destructive nature of our inability to change within ourselves. If we can't do it within ourselves, we can't do it collectively. And, you know, not only that, but we end up killing to get what we want. That's what wars are about. But if we can change...
Go ahead, sorry.
If we can change within ourselves, we can help facilitate that larger change. Because it's not a game we win. If it's a larger collective shift that we all are going through together, then it's inevitable. So how do you give yourself to that emerging new reality in a beautiful way? In, you know, to create something beautiful out of the loss. And again, there's the metaphorics again. Mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, America is going through that kind of a death. And yet, I'm here to say my own personal metaphoric death was the best thing that ever happened to me. What came out of it was a reality I couldn't have imagined. I mean, even as an artist, I've touched the world more by destroying my art than I ever did for creating it. And I think that's the way it works, the paradox. If we can give ourselves to the change at hand, let go of an old identity, a new one emerges that's, you know, that's better than ever, and it's completely different from anything we have known.
And very much like your artwork as well. The type of art you do now has completely changed because you have completely changed. So whereas you tended to do a lot of paintings, which, I mean, I look at them and they're phenomenal. They're just beautiful. But for you now, because of your path and the transformation and everything that you've been through and your shift, now your art has shifted and you're creating these sculptures. And I do want to talk about that in the next segment, because you've created some incredible works of art. I saw the prayer machine that you created and of course the tower on your property, which is also just an amazing work of art. So we are going to take a quick break. We will come right back. We're speaking with Jerry Wenstrom today. Please stay tuned and come right back.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McClain, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey.
Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered. Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Let's be honest. Weight loss boils down to choices. The Take Shape for Life program features clinically tested products from Medifast that have been recommended by over 20,000 doctors in the last 30 years. There's free support from certified health coaches who've experienced personal success with the Take Shape for Life program. Talk to a health coach. Listen to the passion in their voice and their story that started with a choice. Call 1-877-520-SIMPLE. That's 877-520-SIMPLE. Results will vary. Talk to your doctor before starting program. Call for details.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Get up to $5,000 guaranteed for your trade and $1,000 in free gas. Central is pulling out the big guns for this one. Central Auto Group in Plainfield, home of Ford, Mazda, and Hyundai. Central has hundreds of cars that get over 40 miles per gallon. Gas prices are predicted to hit $5 a gallon by summer. Trade in that gas guzzler now. At Central, where you get up to $5,000 and $1,000 in free gas. At Central Hyundai, get over 40 miles per gallon with a 2011 Sonata for $179 a month. At Central Mazda, drive the Mazda 3 for $189 a month. At Central Ford, get over 40 miles per gallon with the Ford Focus. Drive it for $149 a month. America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000 miles. Hundreds of pre-owned cars starting at under $5,000. Test drive. CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Central, exit 87 off I-395 in Plainfield. Open 7 days. Call 860-564-4014.
Central Auto Group.
1230 WPLQ.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Candace McClain. I'm speaking with Jerry Wenstrom today, and I invite you to visit his website. Just beautiful pieces of art that he's created. Again, the URL is www.handsofalchemy.com. Jerry even has photos of the original paintings that he destroyed. Jerry, how do you feel when you look at the photos of those paintings today?
Well, at this point, it has really no effect.
No.
I mean, it's interesting how the photographs survived because I had given everything I owned away, and yet the film that was being made, the original film in 1979, the filmmaker had taken photographs and he sent them to me a few years ago. So it was, at that point, it was interesting seeing them again, but I don't know. I feel pretty free of that whole attachment, you might say.
And today you tend to focus primarily on sculptures. And again, listeners can go to the website to view those pictures as well. They're very breathtaking. What is your inspiration today to create the works of art that you do?
Well, I see the initial impulse in retrospect. I mean, it's not like I planned it this way, but I have many of these large life-size or larger boxes that they're very coffin-like, sarcophagus-like, and they open up and there are surprises and secret compartments and mechanical devices. and they're between 6 and about 9 or 10 feet tall. And what I see in retrospect is that in my journey, a lot of which we talked about today, I walked into those things that scared me in life. You know, the places of fear I would pay attention to because I knew in that was my liberation, was my freedom from the fear. And so facing the fear, there these incredible gifts came out of it. What I see about my art is that they're very, in a certain sense, they're kind of spooky. You know, they're carved cedar, mechanical devices, as I said, and they look like they're beings, and they have, you know, figures inside, carved figures. And so they're kind of spooky. And yet, when you can confront them, they're interactive. They dispense gifts. They do comical things. There are these surprises that come out of that confrontation with what looks like death. So I think for me personally, that's the meaning that came through, you know, in spite of myself.
I believe the one Lucy is like that as well. The one side kind of represents that death, and then you kind of turn the knob at the top, and it turns around and shows, you know, this beautiful figure. I also noticed another interesting one you talk about in the book is the prayer machine. Tell us a little bit about that one and your inspiration for it.
Well, I'm not sure I remember the original inspiration for it. I mean, it was just a whimsical idea. But basically, you put in a dime and you turn this big brass crank on the front of the, it's a being, it's probably about 7 feet tall. And so you turn this crank and a ticket comes out with a little picture of an angel on it. And you write your prayer on the back of that and put it in the prayer wheel, which is mounted onto the side of this box. And then there's a key and a keyhole. So you take the key and you put it into the keyhole and turn it. And that makes the whole thing come alive. So what begins to happen is there are these large wings that appear and it starts flapping its wings. So it becomes like an angel. And the door pops open, which is initially a face, and that face opens up. And inside is another face, and that face is split down the center. And so that split opens up, and then there's another face inside with eyes that roll back in its head. And up above, there's a skeleton that appears out of this decaying wood and then disappears again. And there are secret compartments. It plays a little song. There are secret compartments with saints from all religions hidden away in them that you kind of discover as you go. So that's one of the more complicated pieces.
And how long did that piece take you to create?
Well, probably a couple of months. Early on when I, you know, it was before I wrote the book and traveled so much, I was able to work pretty much 15-hour days every day. So I was able to produce those boxes pretty quickly. I mean, it's, you know, some people don't think it's quickly, but they're with the complexity of them, it was pretty fast. And yet now, you know, I come and go and they emerge a little slower. So anywhere from, you know, 2 months to 2 years now for, yeah. And they've gotten larger and more complicated.
And one of the larger and more complicated ones, I'd imagine, is the tower that you built for your wife as a wedding present. And from my understanding, you have no background in carpentry at all whatsoever. So tell us a little bit about that tower and how it came about and what it means to you and even the importance of having that kind of place, a sacred place in your life.
Yes. Well, I think it's good for all of us to have some kind of a sacred place, whether it's out in the forest at a certain spot or an altar, you know, just to sort of go there with a different kind of intent, which is, you know, with a certain amount of reverence. So the tower was a gift to my wife when we got married. And so I had built it. I was like, As you said, I knew nothing about how to build, and yet I was so jazzed building this thing. I worked all summer, every day, late into the night. I mean, the neighbors were saying, "Only you out there at 3 a.m. with a saw making all that noise." And it was interesting. The moment the tower was done, it's 40 feet high. It's only 8 foot square inside, but it goes up 40 feet like a big church steeple. And it has a bell up in the bell tower. And on the altar inside is a fountain, because it's built initially on a cistern, which is 10 feet high, and then it continues up 40 feet. And so the cistern, when it fills with water, the water runs through this little fountain and goes back down into the holding tank. And when I finished, it was interesting. I had just completed the tower, and I laid out on the lawn looking at it, and I said out loud, "It's done," because it was so much work. And when I went in, and the moment I said it, the phone rang, and that's, I went in to answer it. And it was Laura Chester from the East Coast. You mentioned the book, Holy Personal.
Right.
And she said, "I heard you built a tower, and I'm doing a book on personal sacred spaces, and I want to include your tower." I don't know how she found out about it, but it was pretty phenomenal. And then we wanted to have the tower blessed, and I thought my wife was doing Tibetan practice. So I thought, you know, something Tibetan would be really wonderful. And of course, you know, in my exaggerated mind, I imagined, wouldn't it be great to get the Dalai Lama? But I knew that wasn't going to happen. And one day, walking near the center, which is behind our house through the forest, I saw 9 Tibetan monks playing soccer, and they kicked this ball into the stinging nettles. So they had no sleeves. I went in and got the ball, and I asked them if they would come and bless the tower. So 9 Tibetan lamas piled in this 8 foot square space and did this 45 minute blessing, which is in the film, actually, which you can watch on our website as well, in the Hands of Alchemy film. The filmmaker happened to be here that day and filmed that as well. So it's just been a pretty magical place for us and for other people. Marilyn has done several weddings in it. You know, she facilitates weddings. She did a double wedding in this little space.
It sounds amazing. And even the pictures. Again, if listeners want to go to the website and take a look, the website is www.handsofalchemy.com. Well, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And is there a message that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I would like to say that we are, as I said earlier, we are all in the best seat in the house, and how important it is on anyone's spiritual journey to ask for what we want, you know, to call on the angels, to call on the gods, to call on, you know, whoever it is we pray to ask for the guidance, because I think that's where real change and transformation happens for all of us.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Jerry, for joining us today and sharing your incredible story. It's meant a lot to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Candace.
And again, people can go to the website if they like, handsofalchemy.com, and you can find out all about Jerry's work. And of course, there is his book, The Inspired Heart, An Artist's Journey of Transformation. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. You can join me again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific time for another Everyday Miracles. We'll see you next week. Take care now.
You've been listening to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for Everyday Miracles, where a new path full of miracles is just waiting to be discovered.